Right, The State of the Nation by Conor Malone and directed by Charlie Boner is taking place on the 5th and 6th of May, presumably at the Bala, isn't it?
Well, we're going down to the Civic in Tala in Dublin next Tuesday and Wednesday, the 2nd and 3rd of May. It's in the Ballard, the 5th and the 6th.
Ah, perfect.
And
it was in locally as well.
I was the Playhouse.
What are you doing here? You need to get out to FM 104, remember?
And it's in the Playhouse in Derry then on Sunday the 7th.
Excellent. So. Now, I've spoken about this before, but can't presume everyone knows what it's about. So, set it up for us.
It's a poker game in the afterlife between Thomas Davis, Jim Larkin, Michael Collins and Charlie Hoy. So, four giants of Irish political history. And during the course of the game, they discuss everything from 1916 and the Civil War up to modern day water protests, Jobstown, hospital waiting lists, Brexit, Trump.
Evolve as time goes on. And... Conal, you play Charlie Hoy, I believe, don't
Charlie
you?
Charlie Hoy, yeah.
How does that fit with you?
I love it. Mm? I absolutely love it. Initially, last year when we were reading for it, I was reading for the part of Jim Larkin.
Mm-hmm.
And Conor rang me a few days later. He says, do you fancy the part of Charlie Hoy? I said, that was the part I wanted, but nobody asked me for it. No, I love it. Absolutely love it, Greg, yeah. It's totally different for me.
Yeah, I would totally say so. Yeah. And it's that... I mean, you know, nerves. Do you get nervous doing something that's different? Because I presume, you never take anything for granted, but you'd be in a comfort zone with what people would know you more for.
Oh, yeah, you would
this
be.
This is, this is different.
This is a complete different step altogether, yeah. Mm. And it is, it's an intense show, and it's very good. It's absolutely excellent. I'm not because he's sitting here. Actually, the fact that he's sitting here, I hate saying this because it is very well written. Mm. It is very, very well written, and it's very funny, and it is very true. But because it's of the style of it, it's very regimented. You know, I get on stage and my own show and sure, whatever comes out of your head, that's it, really. Where this is cues, lines, timing, words, playing cards.
And you know, your relationship with the audience in your own show, if you know what I mean, and then to some extent, do you play with the audience in this one, or do you have to ignore them?
No. In this one, I'm Charlie Hoy.
So that's, that must be a bit of a challenge not to be.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
But
you get into the zone, you know? And Charlie, the wonderful thing about Charlie is, Charlie was super confident, super cool, and arrogant.
Mm.
You know, so you just all the things I'm not. But
he's also a comedian.
You get into the zone. You become you do become Charlie Hoy. You think like Charlie Hoy because you're delivering lines that are sometimes so arrogant that I couldn't deliver them. It's only Charlie Hoy could deliver them.
Yeah,
you know, and sometimes he's just so dismissive. You know, I'd be surprised if somebody doesn't get up and hit me a slap.
And it lends itself very well with these characters that you have. And describe the stage setup for us, I suppose.
Basically, the stage setup, as I say, it's in the afterlife. Mm. So you have a kind of a timeless quality of a set, and then it's a poker table. These four guys sitting around. So you have, you have Jim Larkin, who is the leader in the lockout, who would be very much espousing the causes of the left wing and the working class, which Charlie has absolutely nothing to do with.
Yeah.
You have Michael Collins, who's basically, listen, I kind of fought to free the country, so don't ruin it on me, you know. And then you have Thomas Davis. Thomas Davis was the young Irelander who, back in the 1830s, and he was kind of he was basically the father of, the Irish are different and they're a different kind of people and we have our own country and we're different from the English. So he's almost kind of the referee, as it were, as kind of Collins, Hoy and Larkin go at it.
Mm. And, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you mentioned right at the top is changing almost on a daily basis.
Yes.
How do you do that with the show? You know, how do you incorporate that in the show?
Well, we originally did this last June, and as you say, so much has changed. So for this update, we've actually written a lot of new material.
Mm.
So we've written the new material about Brexit and about Trump, about Apple tax, the 13 million that Apple owes.
In the new stuff, where Apple gets mentioned, it's practically worth coming to the show. Just for that.
Okay. We're going to hear a very, very short excerpt here. Connor, what's this?
This is actually, this is the very start of it, just to give you an idea of the setup. So here you have Thomas Davis, Jim Larkin and Michael Collins. And they're sitting waiting and, oh, he is late.
Charlie's late again, I see.
Well, that's high for you. Always looking for a niche. He thinks being late gives him some sort of a psychological advantage.
He'll probably bring his own deck with him again.
Well, I think that answers the eternal question of where we all are. Waiting to play poker with Charles Hockey. We are definitely in hell.
Oh, I don't know. An eternity spent in the company of Thomas Davis and Michael Collins. Some people would call that heaven.
And what about playing cards in the afterlife with Big Jim Larkin?
Purgatory.
Jim. Tom. Michael. I'm sorry I'm late, gentlemen.
Nice shirt, Charlie.
Thank you. It's Charvet.
We know.
So there you have it. And that's just the very, very start.
But you get it out.
Yeah,
you'll get a flow of humour and stuff. The Charvet shirt, there's an ongoing running gag about
Charvet.
There's
banter
shirt.
There, is it? Suppose
there's a lot of banter
it, you know,
all the way through. Yeah,
even though it's in the afterlife, it's very real.
Yeah, well, that's it. The shackles are off a little bit of what you can do.
Oh,
where
very
you can
much.
Go, but you can still focus it very much on contemporary stuff and reality.
There are insults hurled. Left, right and centre.
Yeah. What we tried to do is, I mean, if you and three of your mates were there playing a poker game on a Saturday night and talking about stuff, you would have the banter. You would be having a cut off each other while getting your points across. So we've put these four guys in this relaxed atmosphere and go, right, what do they really think about stuff? But, I mean, they're slagging away at each other as well. And that's where a lot of the humour comes from, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, there has to be a good sort of connection there, I presume, Connell, you know what I mean? Because there's some stuff you can't fake, people can see that, you know, so I presume you would give each other the odd touch off stage as well.
Oh yeah, oh god, yeah. Well, I must say that the three guys on stage with me are absolutely, they're all talk about perfect casting. Mm. And but off stage they're hilarious as well, but on stage, you know, Jim Larkin and Charlie, it's really, you know, it's just chalk and cheese, and they grate one another. Mm. You know, they really just grate one another. But like I say, then off stage, Peter's a sound skin. He's good fun, you know. But you have to have confidence in the three people sitting around the table with you. There's no weak link.
Yeah,
and there isn't any weak link. Everything's strong.
And such is the way Irish politics is, this can go on forever. You're going to get new material every week.
We were joking, you know, you could nearly do a weekly podcast.
You could
on it,
do,
you?
Yeah, exactly.
When we're in rewrites, and at one stage there, it looked like Enda Kenny said he was going to stand down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually there purely from a script point of view, going, please just hang in there till the summer and this is over, because we don't want to have to get rid of all this
material.
It'd
be an interesting character to stick in if there was another seat at the table, maybe.
We'll have to wait till he dies. Yeah.
Oh,
it's in the afterlife. They have to be dead.
He could occupy both spaces.
No. He's
still, even God forbid, when that happens, he'll probably still not have resigned. He'll still be holding on for dear life.
Connor has mentioned a couple of he's doing any updates. There are a couple of more characters that would really ignite the thing.
Michael Noonan.
Yeah.
After his passing, he'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Is he kind of similar to Charlie Hockey in ways, in his personality, I wonder?
I think so. And it's actually, you know, it's very interesting you should say that in a way, because there's a big theme throughout the play that, you know, Fine Gael, Fine Fall, what's the difference?
Yeah.
You know? So it's interesting that you should say Noonan and Hockey, the similarities will be there, because, I mean, Larkin's thing is, after the Civil War, you had two parties that were exactly the same, divided by the treaty, and the left wing never got a look in. And that's kind of a theme throughout the play. So, it's interesting you bring up the similarities between
them. I was laughing there. You said the three of us are sitting here discussing them. Just sitting here waiting on politicians today.
To make the play better.
To improve the play.
Exactly. That's creativity for you, isn't it? But listen, the 5th and 6th of May, then, in the Balor.
In the Balor, yeah.
Okay, excellent. And tickets are available now still. I think it's the whole setup's brilliant, and I think it lends itself to, you know, to the the surroundings of the place as well, and everyone has a great view. It sounds like it's going to be great fun. And then you sit down to Dublin then?
No, we're in Dublin first, actually. First. We're in Dublin Tuesday and Wednesday, the 2nd and 3rd. Day off traveling
so
back
busy.
Up.
It's a busy week.
It's 5 shows in 6 days, yeah. And we've Ballor 5th and 6th, and in the Playhouse in Derry on Sunday the 7th.
Which will suit a lot of our listeners a bit better too.
And actually, Hawley's father was from Derry. You found out in the. I actually didn't know that until I started writing the play.
No, I was born in Derry.
I was from Derry last weekend. What's the
what are we doing in Dallas?
Let's get back to dead politicians. But anyway, tickets available now. Connell, you're flat out yourself as well. So
he's talking about that there. I didn't realise we were doing 5 shows in 6 nights.
Yeah,
this is my 5th show in 5 nights tonight.
Wow,
and my 6th tomorrow night. So I'm off Monday night.
Good,
and then 5 more in 6 nights. So,
well, where are you tonight?
I'm in the Alley Theatre in Strabane tonight, which is great because it's close.
Local, yeah,
we were down in where were we last night? Virginia and Cavan, yeah, and then we'd been in Cork and Wexford and Offaly the nights before. So you're sort of tired, but because they're doing the plays are different. It's a different. It's like two different.
Yeah, but I remember speaking to you when you were injured.
Oh yeah,
and you'd have given anything during that conversation to be tired from working 5 or 6 nights.
I would have loved to have been out 5 or 6. Don't complain about it. Yeah, that's exactly. For sure. No, no, very very busy. I say, Strabane tonight. So
brilliant, excellent. And Connor, what are you focused on? This? What are you working on besides? What is this called? I've got the fund written in front of me, and I've got the State of the Nation.
Well, actually, yeah. The funny thing is, it's two plays. It's done as a double bill.
Oh, is it?
They're both 45 minutes long.
Right.
The Fund was a play, it was originally broadcast on RTE Radio a couple of years ago, and it's based on a true story. It's actually a really amazing true story.
It's very, very, an award-winning play on RTE, written by Mr. O'Connor.
Very good.
But it tells the story of an IMF whistleblower, a guy, Davison Boudou, who in 1988, he resigned from the IMF. And he wrote an open letter of resignation about how he felt he had the blood of millions of poor children on his hands. And basically laid out a whole load of shady dealings that the IMF were engaged in. And even though this was an open letter and it was sent to every media outlet, it was never broadcast anywhere. It was complete silence.
Yeah.
And it's funny, as you know, you think, oh, 1988, maybe it's a bit out of date. But when you see what's been happening to whistleblowers in Ireland today, and when you see the IMF-induced austerity in Ireland today, it's actually, every year it's becoming more and more current.
Yeah.
So, and the two plays kind of dovetail in together well, because you have this IMF austerity whistleblower attack in the first play, and then you have the four lads arguing about, is the way the country's been run at the moment the best way it could be ran? So, even though they're different, they kind of dovetail in together, and there's a common theme.
Excellent. Okay, that's brilliant. So, 5th and 6th of May in the Ballor, and then the 7th in Derry.
Yeah.
And get on to either of the two theatres for four tickets. And it's going to be great. Listen, thanks so much for coming in. It's been lovely chatting to you as always. Connell Gallen, and of course, Connor Malone. Thank you both very much. We'll be back with more.